Man, as we come together on this morning, thanking God for the many, many blessings that He has bestowed upon us. Amen. It is always good to be able to come together to worship God, to do the things that are pleasing unto Him. Many people that, as we all know, were unable to get up this morning for one reason or another. And as we think about what God has done for us, the place where we used to be, in the place where we are now.
Amen.
We should be able to thank Him.
Yes.
For granting us this day.
Amen.
We're talking to Mr. Cole next door on this morning. Haven't seen him in a couple of months. You know how the weather is. It's cold and we stay inside. But he made it a point to speak to me on this morning. And as he spoke, he gave me the news that his wife had passed away back in December. And he was also recovering from being sick from COVID as well. And he said he just wanted us to know that we may keep him in prayer as we do others of our number here. It has been a rough year from last year and coming into this year. Things are, wouldn't say better, but things are as they are. And we have to continue to pray one for another, that God may continue to strengthen each one of us. And I want you to know that as we come together on this morning, that as we talk to people about the Word of God, we give them exactly what the Word says, and it is up to them to change. Many people will say that they cannot change. But I want you to know this morning, you can change.
Yes, sir.
You know, many of us can reflect back on the life in which we used to live, and we would say that God has been good to us.
Amen.
You know the old saying that God protect children or babies and fools. And many of us, we're long past the age of being a baby, but many of us have been very, very foolish throughout our lifetime.
Right,
we're participating in things that God has frowned upon, that God has given us in His Word that He is displeased with, and we have ceased to do those things. And again, I want you to know, as we talk about this, that you can change. In the book of James chapter 2, the scripture reference was read from James 2:25. And we're going to read it again, and we're going to add a little bit to it as we read it. For I want us to understand that in order to make a change, an individual must have faith. He must have faith in the Word of God. He must believe that God is able to deliver him from whatever he's going through, from whatever life he is living, that God can deliver him. So we find in the book of James chapter 2, starting with the 14th verse. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to him, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is dead or is useless? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and he was called a friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way, was not also Rahab, the prostitute, justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? So as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. Now, I want you to understand something. That when you read there in verse 26, for as the body apart from the spirit is dead, the spirit still lives. The spirit is still able to be what it's supposed to be or what it was. Because once this body dies, the spirit is going to suffer the judgment, whether good or whether bad. Whatever life you have lived, that is what that spirit, your spirit, is going to have to give an account for. Look what it says. So also faith apart from works is dead. Now you can have a dead faith. Your faith can be useless because you are not doing what God requires of you in order to have a living faith. And we have to stop and we have to open our eyes and we have to realize again that God requires us to do things. Amen. People put their trust in God long before they ever become Christians. I want you to hear that again. People put their trust in God long before they ever come Christians. Why do I say that? I say that because of what the scripture says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You cannot become a Christian without faith. You cannot become a Christian without faith. We're going to find, as I look at this, and as we look at this from the book of Joshua chapter 2, Rahab had to have faith in order for her, and not only her, but also her household to be saved. Now, she wasn't of the children of Israel. She was of the very ones that was going to be destroyed that lived in the city of Jericho. Joshua chapter 2 outlines that for us. We look at the life of a harlot. Now, how many times have you heard someone say, my life is so bad that God cannot save me, that I cannot be saved? The life of a harlot, I believe, is pretty bad. I've never been one, but it's pretty bad. Now, I've talked to a couple, and that was pretty bad. One was so I thought was an innocent something I was doing for the good. And later on, I was told, if you ever do that again, you're going to be in trouble. I was blind by trying to get something. It wasn't anything illegal now, so don't throw any rocks at me. Trying to get something back from someone, and later on found out that that individual was a prostitute. And it was all cleared up. Got what I was after. Everything said and done. It was over. But I want you to know that that young lady could have changed. Do I know if she changed? I have no idea. I had no more contact with her. But I want you to know this lady here, Rahab the prostitute, this is how she's labeled. She's labeled as Rahab the prostitute, but not so much as to say that she was still living that life. And we're going to find out later that when she ceased to be a prostitute, she never turned back to that life again. So there are many things that we have participated in. We have ceased to do them, never to return. So I ask you again, is there, if I didn't ask you, I'm asking you now, is there anything that somebody is going through that they think is so bad that they cannot change? See, we can go from this prostitute and we can go to a murderer. And we can find that individuals can change. You must change in order to be pleasing and acceptable in the sight of God. So we find here the story of Rahab the harlot in Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2, when we find here in verse 1. In Joshua the son of Nun sent two men secretly to Shittim as spies, saying, go, view the land, especially Jericho. And they went and came into the house of a prostitute whose name was Rahab, and lodged there. They lodged there. That's where they stayed. And it was told to the king of Jericho, behold, men of Israel have come here tonight to search out the land. The king of Jericho sent to Rahab, said, bring out the men who have come to you, who entered your house. For they have come to search out all the land. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. And she said, true, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. I had no idea. You know, a lot of times when people ask us questions, and the answers that we give to them, we may not give them the full answer. And that's what Rahab was doing right here. But I want you to notice something else about Rahab. As she took in these men, she showed hospitality to them. She didn't know them from any other stranger. She didn't know them personally, but she took them in. She showed them hospitality. She did better to these strangers, men from another land, from another nation, than we do amongst our own people. This prostitute. She didn't bring them into her home in order to participate in the deeds that was going on there. She took them into her home in order to hide them. She protected them. This is the life of Rahab. An individual that was not privy to what God had for his people at this particular time here. But let's keep reading. Let's keep reading. In verse 4, it says, but the woman had taken the two men and hidden them, and she said, true, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. Verse 5, and when the gate was about to be closed at dark, the men went out. I do not know where the men went. Pursue them quickly, for you will overtake them. Now she's continuing to lie. They left. Right before the gate was closed, they left. If you hurry up, now you can catch them. The Bible says in verse 6, but she had brought them up to the roof and hid them with the stalks of flax that she had laid in order on the roof. So the men pursued after them on the way to the Jordan as far as the fords. And the gate was shut as soon as the pursuers had gone out. The men still there. Rahab is trying to protect these two men from the king and from the king's men, that they will not be killed. But I want you to know, if they had found out that Rahab was lying to them, that she too would have died. Look what the Bible says in verse 8. Before the men lay down, she came up to them on the roof, and she said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land. I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that the fear of you has fallen upon us, and all the inhabitants of the land melt away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you devoted to destruction. And as soon as we heard it, our hearts melted, and there was no spirit left in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is the God in the heavens and upon the earth beneath. The Lord your God. Rahab did not own him as being her God. The Lord your God. Here she is talking to these two men, Joshua and Caleb, talking to them, letting them know, we have heard what God has done, how he dried up the Red Sea when he brought you out of Egypt. Now, do you see the faith that Rahab has? The faith that has grown because of just hearing the word of God? Is that not what Paul said in Romans chapter 10, verse 17? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. She did not only hear what God had done, but she also believed what God had done. That's a believing faith. You know, a lot of people, as we read earlier in James chapter 2, that the demons believe and they shudder. Here you find that Rahab and the people there at Jericho, they believed and they were afraid. But there's a difference in Rahab and the demons and the people of Jericho. There's a difference, and the difference is this: that Rahab not only heard what God had done, and not only believed what God had done, but believed that God could also protect her. She believed that. And that's what we need to believe today as we look at the word of God and as we study it. In verse 12, it says, now then, please swear to me by the Lord that as I have dealt kindly with you, you also would deal kindly with my father's house, and give me a sure sign that you will save alive my father and my mother, my brothers and my sisters, and all who belong to them, and deliver our lives from death. And the men said to her, our life for yours. Then when the Lord gives us the land, we will deal kindly and faithfully with you. Now, she did not ask to be part of the family of God, did she? All she asked was that our lives be saved. Not just my life. You know, you find that she said, my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all who belong to them, let their lives be spared. When the people come to destroy Jericho, let their lives be spared. And here, the men are telling her, we will give you your life. Your life for ours. You have dealt kindly with us, we will also deal kindly with you. Now, how do you treat people? How do you treat strangers? Do you try to protect them from wrongdoings? Do you try to give them a safe haven? Do you go to God on their behalf? That's what Joshua and Caleb had to do. They had to go to God on her behalf. You know, a lot of times we may say things, and if God is not in agreement with that, it's not going to come to pass. But God was in agreement with this very thing that Rahab was asking. The Bible says in verse 15, "And then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was built into the city wall, so that she lived in the wall. And she said to them, 'Go into the hills, and the pursuers will encounter you, and hide there 3 days until the pursuers have returned. Then afterward, you may go on your way.' The men said to her, 'We will be guiltless with respect to this oath of yours that you have made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, you shall tie this scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, and you shall gather into your house your father and your mother, your brothers, and all your father's household. Then if anyone goes out of the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we shall be guiltless. But if a hand is laid on anyone who is with you in the house, his blood shall be on your head, on our head. But if you tell this business of ours, then we shall be guiltless with respect to the oath that you have made us swear.' And she said, 'According to your words, so be it.' Then she sent them away, and they departed, and she tied the scarlet cord in the window." Now, I want you to pay attention to something here. As Rahab was talking to these two men, and she said to them where to go, how long to stay there, they did not argue with her. They listened to her. But in return, they told her, "If you do not do what is right, then it's your own fault." And I believe that's what we have to pay attention to today. If we do not do what is right, it is no one's fault but our own. Now, look where her house was built. Her house was built in the wall. When we read and we find in Joshua chapter 6, I do believe it is, in Joshua chapter 6, when the men of Israel came in order to take Jericho, the Bible says that they marched around the city one time, two times, three times, four, five, six, and on the seventh time, they marched around, the trumpets blew, and the walls of Jericho fell. Have you ever seen when a house burns down and all that's left is a chimney? That's what I picture right here. The walls of Jericho falling down all around, and the only thing standing is the house of Rahab the prostitute. Some would say, well, that's a landmark. You best believe it's a landmark. It's a landmark to show that God is a keeper of his word. If we do what we're supposed to do, God will do what he says that he will do. And so therefore, Rahab and her family were saved. The Bible says in verse 22, "But to the two men who had spied out the land, Joshua said, 'Go into the prostitute's house and bring out from there the woman who all and all who belong to her, as you swore to her.'" Go into her house. It did not say, he did not say, go and dig amongst the rubble and drag her out. No, it said, go into her house. So it says that her house was still standing. She did what was right, and therefore she was saved. The Bible says in verse 23, "So the young man who had been spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brothers and all who belonged to her. And they brought her brought all her relatives and put them outside the camp of Israel. They wasn't finished with it, were they? But they didn't want any harm to come to them. Take them outside the camp. And they burned the city with fire and everything in it. Only the silver and the gold and the vessels of bronze and of iron, and put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. But Rahab the prostitute and her father's household and all who belonged to her, Joshua saved alive. And she lived in Israel to this day because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. How important is it to know again that God is a keeper of his word? How important is it to realize that we must do exactly what God tells us in order to be saved? Amen. It's very important. We cannot leave out one thing. Just as God tells us how to do it, we must do it. We must do it. We cannot hide from him. We have to do what is right. We may be in a world of chaos, but if we're standing for the truth, God will protect us. He will protect us. He has protected us, and he will continue to protect us. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, that Rahab did this by faith. She did it by faith. Again, she wasn't one of the children of God. She wasn't an Israelite, but she had faith. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. So who can God save? Whomever he pleases. But you know, there are some stipulations still. And Rahab met those stipulations. She did what God required of her in order to be saved. So salvation has always been conditional. Even from the very beginning, for Adam and Eve, it was conditional. For them to live forever, it was conditioned upon them not eating from that tree that was in the midst of the garden of good and of good, the knowledge of good and evil. It was conditional, but they ate from that tree. So therefore they died. Rahab stayed in the house, her and her family, when the men of Israel came to take Jericho. They stayed in the house and they were saved. They were saved. Are you doing what is right today in order to be saved? Are you that person that God is looking at and saying, I'm pleased with that individual. I'm pleased with you. And you can put your name there. But if you're not doing what's right, God is not pleased with you. Salvation requires repentance. Amen. A change of life. And again, Rahab had that change of life. Rahab did not turn back to that life of a prostitute. She became a person that you find in the lineage of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Rahab, the Bible tells us, died in faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. Died in faith. Died in faith. See, we can't say that about everybody that we have encountered that has died, that they died in faith. But we can say that about these people that are listed here in Hebrews chapter 11. That's why they're here. In order that we may look at their life and see how they used to live and see how they turned to live and find that they did not always, again, we have to even put Moses in this, didn't always do exactly what God said. But they did exactly what they needed to do in order to have faith. What does that say? That says when we mess up, we need to get it right.
Amen.
We need to ask God to forgive us. We need to ask God to be with us. We need to ask God to direct us. And what we need to do as we ask that, we need to get in His Word and we need to find out what does His Word say that we need to do. And the two men gave Rahab the word in which she needed to do, and she followed that word, and she was saved, her and her house. Today, I ask you, what you've done in this life, is it so bad that God cannot forgive you? No, it's not. As long as you're living, you can change. And you need to change, and you must change if you want to be a child of the King. You have to change. That change comes about by hearing, as we just stated earlier in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, hearing the word of God in order to have faith. That change comes about by believing what you have heard. And Rahab believed, so she was saved. Jesus says in John 8, 24, except ye believe that I am He, ye should die in your sins. See, Rahab heard about what God had done for the children of Israel. And Rahab knew that, hey, if I trust in Him, if I just ask, I can get something from Him. And it wasn't that, you know, she was trying to barter with God, but she knew how important it was for a man to follow after him, how God would protect him. The children of Israel, again, fleeing from Pharaoh and his army. And the Red Sea, hearing this, the Red Sea opening up, and they going across on dry land, and the Pharaoh and his army going in, and the waters closing in on them, and they're being drowned, and they were drowned. Hearing that, if I was living in those days, And I knew that there was some harm getting ready to come to the city in which I lived because the city wasn't doing what was right and I had an opportunity to be saved, I'd do whatever I could as well. Knowing how destructive God could be, how He takes vengeance on those that have done something against His children. So we need to understand that repentance is necessary, that we have to have a change of mind. And Rahab had that. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 13, verse 3, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. The Bible doesn't say that Rahab perished, did it? No, it does not. It tells us that Rahab survived, her and her family. But those that were disobedient, God took care of them. He took care of them by the hands of the Israelite, by the hands of those soldiers. God took care of them, but Rahab and hers were saved. We're saved, again, by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing that Jesus is the Christ, amen, the Son of the living God. And then we have to realize that it's baptism. Baptism is what puts us into Christ. Baptism does that. What put Rahab with the children of Israel? Her obedience. Her being in that house. Just as Noah and his family were saved by going into the ark, Rahab and her family were saved by staying in the house. We're saved by going into the watery grave. If you have not been in the watery grave, if you have not been baptized for the remission of your sins, you are not a child of God. You're not a child of God. Well, what if somebody would have eased on in with Rahab and her family into that house? They were in a safe place, were they not? They were in a safe place. But you know what would have happened? I'm just speculating now. Yeah, I don't do that quite often, but I speculate what would have happened is this, that as they went in to get Rahab, her mother, her father, her brothers and her sisters, and all that she had, that person was not hers. I'm just speculating. Think about it. You cannot sneak in. You cannot go in by another way, because Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. John 14, 6. So we have to understand, in order to be saved, you have to go into the watery grave. You have to be risen to walk a new life, a new creature, doing what God desires you to do, studying His Word. 2 Timothy 2:15. We study in order to show ourselves approved unto Him. Oh, let me back up. I didn't give you no scripture on baptism. Mark chapter 16, verse 16. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. The like figure, whereunto baptism doth now also save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We have to know that baptism is necessary in order to be saved. That is why we submit it to it, to what the Word of God says. And that is why we are His children. That is why we teach what the Bible says, because we believe what the Bible says. If you're here today and you're not a child of God, we invite you to become one. We're begging you to become one. It's, you know, we listen to the weather report. We know it's going to snow. We get ready for it. Well, I want you to listen to this report. God is sending His Son back one day in the clouds to receive unto Himself a perfect church. That's your warning. If you are not one of His, He is not coming back for you. He's not coming back for you. So why not become one of His? Why not get into the church that Jesus built? If you're here and you're subject, don't delay. Maybe you're here and you're straight away. We're asking you to come back. We're asking you to confess your faults. If you have to go get your life right with somebody, go and get it right with them. Get it right with God. If you're here and you need the prayers, we're asking you to let it be known. If you have committed a public sin, it desires and deserves a public confession. Let's do what's right before God. If you're here and you're subject, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.